We did the first six verses in 1 John chapter 2. And so I'm going to do my five-minute recap. All right, you timing me? All right. So we know 1 John is all about testing to see where our hearts are really at, so we're not just speaking the word or hearing the word and living however we want. And the book of 1 John, though incredibly loving, has a way of if you're listening, will convict your soul. God is wanting to speak to you and challenge you in what he wants to say and how he wants you to live and how he wants you to shine during these days. Amen? Amen? It's almost like the battle box of the Bible, where they're testing out different things, and God's like testing us to see where our faith is, where we need to be shored up. The last couple of times, we talked about having true fellowship with Jesus. In chapter 1, it produces a joyful life, and in chapter 2, it's talking about how it's going to produce in us real fellowship. A real relationship with Jesus is not only going to produce a pure life in us, but a loving life. And if it doesn't, something's wrong. Something's wrong at the heart of our walk with Jesus, because that's what it produces. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 starts off, "My dear children." You remember that word in Greek is just such a loving, tender, diminutive, caring word, like a grandfather that's calling a family meeting together, that he wants to impart stuff to them before he goes to be with the Lord, how important it is, and he's sharing with them, he's urging them. He's like, I want you to know, folks, I'm writing this so that you don't sin. And we talked about how people today, they always think that they like to dabble with it. Have you ever, any of you have cats? Okay, all right, a few of you? Okay, we're dog people, so we don't have cats. But I watch little kitties and kittens, YouTubes, and they always say, they like play with their little toys, a little ball or something like that. They play, and in the same way, we can do that with sin. And we think, oh, we can handle it, right? Don't we? Oh, we can just do it. We're not like those other sinners, right? But meanwhile, As we went with the illustration last week from Commerce City, Colorado, that sin grows. And what used to be a little pet sin, 12 inches long, someone's going to strangle us and choke us to death, because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus told us that everyone who sins or lives a lifestyle of sin or habitual sins is a slave to that sin. But that's why Jesus came. He didn't come to save you in your sins, he came to save you from your sins. Capiche? He wants to give you a new life. Like Romans says, we know that our old sinful lives were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. Listen, here's what so many Christians, they seem to be in total bondage to their sin. You do not have to be. You have the power of the living God, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If you are born again, lives in you. But you know what? A lot of us don't really believe that. Or we don't understand it. Or we don't draw upon it. We talked about how he says if we do sin, we have an advocate. That's Jesus Christ. Parakletos, it was saying, one who comes alongside, right? In our heavenly defense, if you will. And we talked about how even Jesus said that he will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Holy Spirit, God's with you forever, because we have an accuser accusing us day and night. We talked about Jesus being the propitiation. A fancy word for atoning sacrifice to settle that wrath that God has. He's a holy God. He's loving, but he's holy. And we talked about how he is our propitiation. He satisfies the wrath of God and restores us back to him, because Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, 1 John tells us. He is the sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice bulls or lambs. God presented Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for our sin once and for all. So we will have an advocate. Will be with us forever when we do sin. And it says that people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood, Romans 3:25. Not just for us, but actually for everyone in the world, so that whoever would believe would be saved. Isn't that amazing? so that he can save a wretch like me. And he can save maybe a wretch like you. That's pretty amazing. I love that. When we repent. That's probably my phone, is it? No, that's Chris. Okay, good. Oh, that's my time. Okay, that's my 5-minute warning. Thank you, Chris. Okay, so like I said, this is our 6-minute recap. It talked about in 1 John, it said very clearly, hit the lights just for 1 second. Okay, give me 1 more minute, Chris, but I'm speeding it up, though. He says in verse 4, he says, the man who says, I know Jesus, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wow, that's a difficult thing to say, but it's the truth. Look, if you don't obey, God says, you know what, you're a liar, and the truth, the Holy Spirit of God, isn't in you. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't sin, right? We all know that, right? But living a lifestyle of sin, of habitual sin, something is wrong at the very core of your relationship. And we know where all liars end up. And we talked in verse 6 is where we left off, and I'll just continue with that. So if you look in your Bibles, 1 John, that's in your Revelation at the end of your Bible, not the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 2, okay, verse 6. Where it says, whoever claims to live, actually I'll read 6 through 11, if you'd read it with me. It says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command, the message you have heard. Verse 8 says, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light and there is nothing to make him stumble. Verse 11 says, but whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, last week we went through the sin test to see how we're living is showing where we're really at with God. You can say hallelujah, amen all you want, go to youth group, church services all you want, you can have as many Bibles as you want, but if you're not obeying him, you're missing the whole boat, right? Now here's one thing that I want to start us off with. We go through chapter by chapter, verse by verse in the Word of God here. And I have in my hands, we can get a little camera, and it's for folks at home too, because we have people who watch us online too, this book, and this is a little devotional. It's called My Time with God, and it's a 15-minute devotional for the entire year, and it'll do a complete New Testament. It'll walk you through the complete New Testament with some Old Testament scriptures, and then some challenging questions or comments by people like Beth Moore or Billy Graham or so on and so forth. Anyway, one thing I know is when you get the Word of God in you, not just in here, but in here, God starts making a change. So what we do, if anybody at home who's watching us during the week or online would like one of those, just contact Pastor Darren or Pastor Gary, and we will get you one of these books, even if you're home because of COVID, and ship it to you for free in Jesus' name. Now, we don't want to give it to your grandma or Aunt Sue or Uncle Mo. You can buy that for them yourselves. But for you, we want to buy it for you as a gift from the church in Jesus' name. Is there anyone here? I can tell you one thing before I hand these out. If there's anyone here who does not have one of these, every person who has ever gone through this and finished it has come back and thanked me profusely for the changes that is made in their life. It will take you through the whole New Testament in 1 year. It's written in a simple way for folks like me, helpful. And so if you would like one of these, we're going to give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. So Chris, can I give you a couple of these? If you want one, raise your hand and we'll give it to you. There's no cost at all. We just want you to grow. We want you to be encouraged. All right. So we talked about walking in his ways. Anyone? Verse 6 says, whoever claims to live in him, Jesus, must walk as Jesus walked. And we talked about last week how Psalm 128, blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. God will bless you if you walk with him. In fact, we talked to how, I don't remember which scriptures we covered because we left halfway through verse 6, but It says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In fact, it says that God prepared them beforehand for you to walk with him. He's not just saving you so you can sit in a pew or so that you can go to work. He's saving you so that you can live for him. He's got a job for you to do. Does that make sense? Every single day of your life, he's got work for you to do. And he's prepared it to walk in him. We have to ask ourselves, are we doing that? We have to listen for his voice, being filled with the word of God, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so that whether we turn to the right or the left, we're going to hear the Holy Spirit behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. No Mandalorian jokes right here for you Disney fans. The real way is the way of Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Galatians says that we need to walk by the Spirit so we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. So let me ask you a question, and this is where we're going to need the mic. How do we do that? I'm just going to ask you that right now. I want you to, I want you to think about it, pray about it. How do we do that? How do we walk like Jesus walks? What does that mean? Can you tell me what that means? What does that mean to you? And just raise your hand and I'm going to give you a mic. What does that mean to you? And yes, I'm going to sit here and there's going to be people watching us, so you better raise your hand, because otherwise it's going to be a little awkward and pretty quiet.
Okay, so I guess I get to go first? So I get to go first?
Yes.
Because I have the mic.
What does that mean? We must walk like Jesus walked. What does that look like?
So we have a choice in life. We have two people we can serve. We talked about it before. We can either serve ourselves or we can serve God. So we can be selfish and think of things that we would like to do for ourselves and what I want to accomplish this week and next week and with my life. Or I can turn it over to God and I can say, what do you want me to do with my life? And which way is your path? How will you follow it?
Good. Good. Who else? What does it mean to walk like Jesus walked? What does it look like? What does it look like? Okay, go ahead. Okay, there used to be a time years ago when if it was quiet like that, you would see sweat just dripping from me. Now I'm like, that's all right, Holy Spirit, convict. Just do your thing.
Well, I personally get a lot from the Apostle Paul, who says that, you know, we're to put on the mind of Christ. And for me, I find that, like she was saying this morning about Peter getting out of the boat, you know, the minute we get our focus off of Christ and keeping our minds on things above and the things that are of heavenly value, and we think about our personal circumstances and walking in our own efforts, denying that part of ourselves that wants to take control, putting aside that pride, And thinking of the scriptures and living out the meaning of the scriptures and focusing on Christ as the way that we walk in his manner, as far as I know.
Good, good. All right, and if, okay, we got one more right there. What does it mean to walk as you, what does it look like?
Walking in, with the Spirit of Jesus in you, you know, trying to do the Ten Commandments, hold fast to God and your beliefs, and, you know, try to, set aside the flesh,
yep,
as much as possible.
Yep.
And pray.
Good.
And repent.
Good. Amen, brother. Amen. Good. What else? What does it mean to walk like Jesus? All right, we got back there, Chris, back there, Anthony. And then you're going to pass it. I'm going to start calling on people if more people don't raise it. Then you're going to pass it to Lynn. And Lynn, you're going to say something. There you go. So now you got to be careful. Now, right back there, Chris, all the way in the back, the other Anthony, yep. And then we're going to pass it all the way down to Lynn, a few down, and you're going to say something. What does it look like? It says in verse 6, and this is pretty wild, man. I mean, think about what he's saying. He says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. What does that mean? Anthony, what does that mean to you, bro?
It looks like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. All those things you can see.
I got it. Yeah, because you see the fruit on a tree, right? So you're going to see that fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now pass it down, if you would, to Miss Lynn. I'm just going to start calling on people.
Oh, gee, that was exactly what I was going to say. No, I think that when you seek Jesus in everything that you do, sometimes it's very hard because we get busy in life. But when you seek him and put that joy in your heart to do as he wants you to do, you will have that glow in you and you will be living like Jesus then.
Awesome. Good, good. Over here in the back. Good. Another hand up. I'd love to see it. Good. Now we're talking. And don't be afraid. I want to say there's no wrong answer. Somebody's going to say something really terrible. But mostly, we're just speak what's on your heart. What does walking with Jesus look like practically? What does it look like to you? What does it mean? Go ahead.
Well, I think everything we've heard so far is absolutely beautiful. But I'm reminded of the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4. And it says this, but insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, and one of the ways that we walk is that we share in the suffering that he did, we will too. It's not always the most pleasant side of how do we walk like Jesus walked. And he said in the scriptures that he was hated, we could be too. And that is a side that we don't like to necessarily listen, but it is part of walking like Jesus walked.
Excellent. Good. What else? More hands. All right. Got Natalie over here, and I got Mark over here. Good. Thank you, Chris. This is like playing tennis. Think of all the exercise you're getting, Chris.
I was thinking the same thing that Peggy was, and I would also add is sometimes it's going against the grain of you know, the world.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
And we may be persecuted for that.
Absolutely. But our attitude, the Bible says, needs to be the same of Christ as Christ Jesus. Not thinking of ourselves or what we want, right? But he's looking to God's need. God, what do you want to do first? And help me to look towards the needs of others. He was a servant to all, wasn't he? It's totally different. When we walk with Jesus, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for him. We're here for others. You're called. Amen? Does that make sense? Go ahead, Mark. What does it mean? What does it look like to walk like Jesus walked? What does it look like?
Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, not in my own strength, but by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, and what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to do it every day. We have to renew our minds. We have to renew our heart. We have to renew our spirit. And that's the only way that I've ever seen that we can do that. And if we don't, we don't hit the target.
Amen. You can't just come in here on Sunday, get an hour's worth of teaching, and just forget about God. He's so right. Listen, here's the difference. Mark, I almost couldn't have planned that better. That was definitely the lead of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. I've watched people, you could get all the Christian shows, you can get all the this, that, the worship, you know, you can get all the friends, the fellowship, but we need to make sure that we're not just getting information, we got to make sure that we're getting transformation. Does that make sense? Do everybody hear the difference? You can go, amen, hallelujah, praise God, yep, I can talk with it, walk, I can look like it, you can do that, but if it's not changing how you talk, if it's not changing how you treat and interact with people, if it's not changing how you react to people, then you're missing the whole point. Because God has come to transform you. And that scripture that Mark has read, now he just wants information in here. He wants transformation. And that Romans 12 2 verse, do not conform the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why we're always giving it away. Listen, if you want teachings on MP3 CDs, okay, one of my favorite pastors, John Corson, he's probably in my top 10 talked to him personally, love the guy. You know, we're willing to give you, pick any book of the New Testament. And we'll give you an MP3 CD you can listen through just like you do here, any book of the Bible. We'll give it to you. And you can just do it when you're done, give it back. We just want you to grow. You can also listen on your phone, yes. My other friend, we went to either homefellowshipchurch.com or our Facebook page, or also Enduring Word is another friend we just got back from Israel with. But to walk as Jesus walked, okay, God must be, listen to me now, hear me now, he must be your source, not your resource. Does that make sense? To walk as Jesus walked, you're not going to be able to love people. You can't be loving to people in this kind of climate. You can't have the joy of the Lord in these kind of circumstances. You can't have the peace of God with all this fear-mongering. You can't be patient with people who are knuckleheads. You can't be kind in a world that's dark and mean and cruel. You can't be good in a world where everybody's bad. You can't be faithful in a faithless land. You can't be gentle when everybody's in your face and that's what they're touting and promoting. And you can't have self-control in a world where, hey, everything's good, do whatever you want, right? Listen, you can't do that without God. Now, here's what I see a lot of Christians do. A lot of Christians go to God kind of like, I don't even know, I was hoping the Holy Spirit would give me a good illustration. They kind of make him a resource. In other words, yes, thank you. Thank you. Okay, good. Yes, Lord, what can you do for me? Go into Sam's Club. Hey, I need something right now, so I'm going to go to Sam's Club and I'm going to pick it up, okay? Or, you know what? I don't want to have, Connie, we love you. I don't want to have an ongoing walk with Jesus every day, every minute, every hour, a relationship. I just want to go to God when things are bad. Oh, I just want to go to God when I'm happy and worship. Do you see what I'm saying?
Pick out the coordinates, what matches what you're feeling.
Oh, yeah. I just want to deal with the things that are comfortable about me. I don't want to deal with the hard stuff, you see. See, if God is your resource, then you're really the king of your universe. You're an idol. You only choose God when you darn well feel like it. God doesn't want that. You're not going to get the filling and the flowing of God working in and through you unless you are plugged into the source all the time, where it's not God, I want you today, not tomorrow. It's, if he's the source, it's every day. God, it's your day. What do you got for me? How can I manifest you in some way today, God? How can I make you known to people? How can I be strengthening myself in you today to bless others? How can I encourage my sister, my brother, in Jesus' name? I'm looking for ways. Does that make sense? That's the difference between God being a resource that you use when you choose and him being who you walk with as the source. Listen, it says this in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as the perfect high priest. And he became what? The source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He's the source, the fount of living water. He's where it all flows from. It's not like a faucet you turn on and off when you darn well feel like it. It's like a stream that goes in you and through you. That's the living water. Does that make sense? There's a whole different life-changing, walk-changing, mind-changing, heart-changing difference between a resource and a source. Okay? Chris, would you give Becca and then...
Sort of like your phone. Everybody has a phone, right? And you have to do what? Keep it charged? All yes. Right. So how many people let their phone run down before they need to charge it? Yeah. right? Okay. So do you treat God that way? You only get him when you need to charge the phone, or keep it charged all the time, and then it'll be working for you?
All the time. Yes, good.
When you talk about him being the source, that means like a foundational. And I find that a lot of people, and I have done this myself when I was a younger believer, they want to compartmentalize what they're allowing God to work on. So they have you know, all these things in their lives, and they come to God and they say, I want this fixed. And then God, you know, God knows that everything's connected, so he's pulling where he needs to, and they're like, no, that door's closed.
Yes.
This, not these things.
Yes.
Even with a counselor or talking to people, they don't go that direction, because in their minds, they're only willing to let him into this area, and they can't see that if he's not foundational, then you're not going to get, like, he doesn't work like that. He's not piecework.
Yes.
And he wants all of you, and he's going to help you with everything, and he has to be able to have access to everything. But if you only want to let him in one door, that's not...
That's right.
He can't go through this one little door. He's got to go through everything.
Listen, you don't need... Can I just be honest with you? And I'm speaking... I'm not blaming, attacking you. Me too, okay? You just don't need an oil change. Well, you do need the Holy Spirit oil change, but that's another story. But we need an overhaul. Do you know what I'm saying? We need God... He needs to come into the house and do whatever he wants. You can't not let him in some of the rooms of your house and expect him to work like he needs to work. You need to give him free rein because he lives there. In fact, it's his house you're living in. It's a new mindset. Does that make sense?
Or does he live there?
Or does he live there? Yes. Okay, one more. Yes. And you guys can raise hands if you want to make a comment or talk. You know, one thing I really like, if you'll notice, most of the people who are sharing usually will share things either from the word or the concepts or hearts of the word. I love that because that tells me that we're going back to that. We're going back to him as the source. Good.
John 14, 16, and 17.
I didn't cue that, by the way.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word another is the exact representation, the exact spirit, the exact everything, okay, helper, that may be with you forever and is the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him. Because he abides with you, and this is where the power comes from, will be in you.
Yeah.
It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself that is living in us. He is the source.
Yes.
But we just have to allow him to live his life through us.
Yes.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not me trying harder.
Yes.
Me being more willing and obedient and allowing him to live his life through me.
Exactly. He's the source. Listen, Psalm 62, 5 through 7 says, listen to this. He says, yes, my soul, I'm just finds rest in God, my source. My hope comes from him, my source. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation, my source. He is my fortress, my source. He is my defender, my source. I will not be shaken. My salvation, my honor depend on God because he is my source, not my resource. He is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. He is my source. Wow, what a difference you're going to find that makes. And as we continue on in this love test that he's given us, with Jesus as our source, we have to rely on him to be able to love people because we cannot love people how he wants us to love people without the Holy Spirit of God flowing in and through us continually. You can't. You will end up being one bitter, angry, hateful, resentful, cloistered, closed-off person because you just can't stand people no more. Sometimes I've said, just being honest, here, your pastor, okay, I'm just being honest with you, people are like, why do you tell them these things? Because we all think it sometimes, okay? Sometimes I think, Lord, you know what? And I love people in general. sometimes I think to myself, you know what, Lord, I really love you, but boy, your people really tick me off, man. Sometimes I just can't stand your people. Or you know what, or they just tick me, or they're just crazy. And you know, there was a book, now I'm an 80s boy, for those of you who can't tell, but anyway. Hey, be thankful I don't have a mullet. Anyway, yeah, Kirk Cameron was my hero, so what, I can say it. So I was an 80s boy, so I grew up in the 80s, and there was a book that came out in the 80s. It's not a Christian book, so don't go buy it or anything. But it was a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list, all right? And it was by this guy, Robert, and he wrote, and you guys might remember it if you were from the 80s, it sold millions. It says, "All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." Okay? You know what? And basically what he goes on to say was that, hey, your ultimate understanding and wisdom and higher knowledge doesn't come from colleges, and it doesn't come from doctorates, and it doesn't come from, he says, and I quote this, "Wisdom was not found at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile at Sunday school." And then he goes on to talk about the different things, you know, love others, share things, play fair, say you're sorry, don't hit people, you know, and this is what I've Lord, let me not say that yet. Okay, processing, standby. What do I do next? There's a song out right now, and I don't know if it's new or old, but I like it. I think it's new, but somebody will correct me. That's like 4 years ago, Pastor. But anyway. Yeah, it's by a guy by the name of Danny Gokey. Anybody heard of him? Danny Gokey? Okay, you ever heard of him? Okay, well, he writes a song called Love God and Love People. Yes, thank you. And so just in case, what I did was I wrote down the words so I could. Okay, so this is basically just one of the refrains of the song. So I'm going to sing it because that's how it's in my head. Gotta keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero, because it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We're living in a world that keeps breaking, but if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. And that's what it all comes down to. You know, when I was newly saved, my young walk with the Lord, a lot of things fascinated me. And I would run to this and run to that. And I was first fascinated with fire and brimstone. I wanted to be a fire and brimstone preacher. Oh, yeah, just rain the fire. And then after that, you know, I saw, I was excited by the Word of God, people who really knew the Word of God. And then I was like, wow, I want to be like that. And I would run over. And then I want to be like people who taught the Word of God. Oh, and I want to be a teacher of the Word of God. Then I saw about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy. Oh, I love prophecy. Then gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Right? And there's so many different things. Oh, look, big mega churches. Oh, yeah, I want to be a mega church pastor. No. But as you grow, can I tell you, all that stuff, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. When you boil it all down, that's the most important thing to the Lord. Does that make sense? Isn't that what Jesus said? It is what Jesus says. Hold that thought. You know, it says, look at verse 7 with me. Give me a minute to it says, in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 2, it says, listen, guys, look at me with your Bibles. He starts off saying, dear friends. And does anybody else have anything different there in verse?
Brethren.
Brethren. Beloved. Yeah, good. All those are good. Actually, the word is agape tao, and it means exactly that. It means endeared. It means beloved. It means, are you ready for this? Literally means favorite ones. So when God's right, you ever have a parent? Who's the favorite? Who's the favorite? You're all the favorites. You know what? With God, not my house, it's this one. But with God, can I tell you something? If you're a Christian, he's writing this to you. You're his favorite right here. You're his favorite. And you're his favorite. Even I'm his favorite, believe it or not. He says, dear children, beloved, brethren, favorites, favored loved ones. He says, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message that you've heard. And so he had to be talking. He's there in Ephesus, and he's writing to the other churches, and he's sharing with folks at in Ephesus, as an elder in that church, I'm sure. And there had to be disciples that knew the Old Testament, right? And they're thinking back, yeah, this isn't a new commandment to love God, people, love God. This isn't new. Wait a minute. In Deuteronomy 6:5, all the way back in Moses, God told us we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Give him free rein in the house, right? He's the source, not the resource. And in fact, he's like, yeah. And then the Old Testament, too, about loving others. It says in Leviticus 19:18, he was talking about loving others. And he said, hey, don't take revenge or don't bear a grudge against people, against any of your people. He says, but I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. Does that sound familiar? It all comes down to this, love God and love people. Jesus said the same thing when a lawyer was asking him, pressing him, hey, what's the most important thing, Jesus? Yeah, what's the most important thing to God? He says, oh, it's just this. Love God and love people. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. And then the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:37-39. And when it says in verse 8, he goes on to say, he goes, verse 8 says, yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. The Greek word is kainos. Okay, so when you see a word like in the Bible, when it talks about, you see the word new or new life, or anytime you see the word new, especially in the New Testament, there's two Greek words there for new, okay? And they have two different meanings, okay? So the word new in the New Testament, the Greek word koinos, it means one, new in time or recent. And the other, it means new in depth, in quality, in freshness, okay? And what he's meaning here when he says in verse 8, he's like, hey, he says, I'm not writing you a new command, I'm writing an old one. But he says in verse 8, yet I am writing you a new command. And its truth is seen in him and you, and in you, because the darkness is passing away. Now listen, what he's saying is, it's not new in time, because this has been an old commandment you've heard from the beginning, but it's new in freshness because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's new in depth because of the Holy Spirit, the inworking that he's doing in you. It's new in quality because your life is going to change. Does that make sense? It's almost like the difference between the two words. This is kind of a silly illustration, but okay, so I just bought, for those of you who know, a Jeep Gladiator. Love it. It's my first new car in about 20 years or something like that. Anyway, and so I absolutely love it. And it's a 2020, and so it's their latest model. It's new. It's recent, right? That would be the first definition. Now, if they came out with a Jeep Gladiator that, I don't know, let's just say could fly, okay? That would be so fundamentally, so radically mind-boggling and different and deep and, you know, fresh. And I mean, this car flies. It's a Jeep, but it flies. Holy cow. That's the new. So when he's saying, hey, this old commandment, but it is new because it's new because of Jesus Christ. It's new in depth and in understanding. Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you are now empowered to live a holy life, even when you can't. Does that make sense? You have seen Jesus' model. You have seen his example. Not only have you seen it, but he's written it down for you, right? For all eternity, you have it at your disposal. You've seen it. You've watched it. That's what he's talking about. And it almost takes me back. John also wrote, the only time that I remember that he used it in the gospel, he wrote, "A new commandment I give you." Why would Jesus say that? Love one another. And this is the key. That sounds exactly like the old command, but here's the difference, right? He says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." In other words, what did Jesus do? He sacrificed everything, right? For God, as an example, and for you. Isn't that true? It's new and deep, blown away. It's fresh. The quality of it, the depth of it is mind-boggling. And I could come up with a bunch of these, but this is five that I just came up with really quick because I did. Jesus had compassion, man. He healed the sick, those around him. He spent time with them. He cared for them. I mean, he's the guy who touched the lepers. No one would touch them, but Jesus did because he had compassion and he cared for them. He loved them. Listen, he healed the sick. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus landed, he saw a crowd and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Listen, God has given you, if you're born again, he has given you the words of eternal life. You can literally take people who are going from hell and you can present an alternative for them. Words of God that will change their whole eternity. He's given you the word of God to heal people, to bless people, and he can allow you to pray for them, right? For God to heal them. It says that Jesus fed, he had compassion, he fed the hungry in love. And you can feed either, you can do things for people. We're giving bread, we're giving food constantly. We're giving the word of God so he can feed you spiritually. Just like Matthew 15:13. His disciples came to him and he said, "I have compassion for these people. And they already have been with me 3 days and had nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry." And he had compassion on them and fed them. Jesus taught them in love. It says in Mark 6:34, when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion, love for them. It says, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them. Listen, many of you can be teaching others. Look, you don't know exactly what to say all the time, right? Neither do I. But he's given you some stuff. He's given you a testimony, right? You can share that, can't you? It's scary, but you can share it. Listen. But are you doing it? Jesus prayed for others in love. Remember in John 17, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. You can pray for others. What a blessing. When I see people, you got to go over out of your comfort zone to pray for somebody, right? You could sit right there every day and let no one bother you. But is that the most loving thing you can do? Is it? You could get off your duff, and maybe there's someone in here that they look all smiling, happy, but they're hurting inside. And they so desperately need you to come over. Hey, can I just pray for you? Yeah, it's scary. Hey, maybe they need somebody to listen to. Sometimes, Vic, right? Sometimes we just need to talk. Isn't that true? Yep. And just to have some godly person there to listen and not agree with every bad thing we're saying out of our mouth and maybe encourage us in the word in the right direction. We can do that with one another. We can reach out, can't we? We can pray. Listen, in verse 5, of course, Jesus gave his life for the world in love. You know the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He gave. He loved. Listen, at the very end of his ministry, he did something really amazing. And you guys might remember it, but he gathered all of his disciples before he went to the cross. And you know what he did? Now remember, they had sandals and it was dirt roads. If you've ever been in a place like in a third world country where they have, it's just dirt everywhere, you get filthy immediately. And it sticks to you because you're usually sweating. In Israel, that's what's going to happen. And it says he got down and he washed their stinky, nasty feet. He served them. He loved them. That's our Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. Okay? He said this. This was the amazing part. Check this out, right? He says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. After he had healed people and blessed people and served people, he's now demonstrating that. He even told his disciples that you're going to be blessed if you do what I did, serve others and love them that way. But it says in John 13:1 that he loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them till the very end. Wow. That's love. And that's how God wants us to love. It's not a self-centered love. It's not a self-focused love. That cross is a God-centered love and can only be done by plugging into the source, right? Isn't that true? Listen, I know the slide is hard to see. I'm sorry. I thought it was really cute with my son's like, oh, yeah, there's a little cross there. Yeah, that's what I was trying to do. It didn't work so great. Anyway, so it's still hard to see, but I just want to make the point. Basically, Jesus displayed the kind of love that we have not seen before, and this new depth of love that he showed the world, okay? Even on the cross, okay? Points in four directions. One that's wide enough to include every human being. It's long enough to last through all eternity. It's deep enough to reach the most guilty of sinners. And it's high enough to take us all the way to heaven, to a holy God. Isn't that awesome? Here's a different way of putting it if verse 8 is confusing to you, because it was to me, and I literally sat there for hours. Here's the Living Bible. It puts it a little bit differently, and I really like the picture. So I made the scripture picture. It says, yet it's always new, fresh, and it works for you just as it did for Christ. And as we obey this commandment to love one another, the darkness in our lives disappears and the new light of life in Christ shines through. Does that make sense? As we love God and love one another, okay, it's going to work. He will fill you up. The worst place you can be, and usually when you're depressed, the place you don't want to be is around people. Isn't it true? I just want to sit in my room by myself in my bed alone, right? Uh-uh. When you're depressed, when you're discouraged, make some cupcakes for somebody. Call somebody up. Pray for them. Bless them. If you're focused on them and on the Lord, let me tell you, you're not focused on, because you work for him. He's the source. Does that make sense? And the light of Jesus Christ, right, is going to take you right out of that darkness and into that light. Because that's where we need to be walking. Make sense? Yes, we have a comment over there, Chris, if you wouldn't mind bringing the microphone. I'd appreciate that. Thank you so much. In the meantime, I'll sing. It all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
One of the things that we were studying this week at school was in Acts, when we were first called Christians in Antioch, and we were talking about why, the different names in Acts, when they started calling the new believers, the Greek believers and the Jewish believers, different names, like the way, the followers, the believers, the brothers, all those things. Yeah. And when they first were called Christians, it actually was done like, it wasn't nice. It was the Antioch people saying, oh, look at the Christians. And it actually meant, like, normally we think of Christian as Christ-like.
Yeah.
And that's what but in studying more, it says little Jesuses, little Christ. And that's what stuck. It's like it kept. And when we think about ourselves being little Jesuses rather than just like Christ, brings it to a whole nother level. You know, just trying to be little examples of him as he's our commander. It's just really, really stuck with us this week, and I thought that was just a neat neat thought behind that.
Amen. Good.
It's been on me for a few minutes now. For those one, you know, walking in Christ like that, I would just say, when you're looking at different people, look at their culture. Some people can't get past the culture to get past the color. So we have to get past the color and past the culture.
Yes.
To walk like Jesus, because that's what Jesus did.
Amen.
He loved everybody.
Absolutely.
And he didn't say, well, these gypsonites and these.
Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely.
He overlooked that, and then he could overlook,
yes.
You know.
Yes, but we're all one at the foot of the cross. Isn't that true?
Yeah, but, yep.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah. Listen, you know, God's love, man, dispels darkness. And it's the mark, it's the true, really the true mark of a Christian. Look at verse 9 with me. My Bible says, if anyone claims to be in the light, but still hates his brother, is still in darkness. Woo! Okay, just think about that for a second, okay? Let me read that again. Anyone who claims to be in the light, you're walking with Jesus, really? And you still hate, and that, and again, the tense there in the Greek is continually hate. Because I'll be honest, there are times where I've been so mad, oh, I just hate that person. And then the Lord grips, and I'm like, yeah, I know it's wrong, God. I'm just mad. It's wrong. Please forgive me. Yeah, okay, give me love again. Okay, yes. But it means that continually, like you're hating them. Maybe they did you wrong or whatever. If you walk in the light with Jesus, you have to remember he's cleansed you from all your sins. Wow, that gives a different perspective. The Bible says later in 1 John, it kind of goes along with this verse here. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, at least in the New Living Translation, says, if somebody says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, in other words, continues to hate them, that person is a what? Liar. That's brutal. Murderous at heart? Yeah. And if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God that we cannot see? Here's another one. We need to erase the hate. If we're a Christian, erase that in our hearts. We have to forgive. We have to let bitterness. Now, I'm not saying if somebody did something terrible to you and they're unrepentant, you know what I mean? And they're going to, I'm not saying you can't. Okay, they need to stay over there, but you can't hate them. Do you know what I'm saying? You can't let it turn into bitterness. You might not be able to be with them directly, right? You know what I'm saying? But you can't hate them. Jesus said to pray for those who despitefully use you, to bless those who curse you. So I'm going to pray for them. Who does that? That's crazy, unless you're crazy in love with Jesus and plugged in the source. Wow. It says, listen, and don't get all snotty, right? Because listen, we're all like this. Listen, in Titus 3:3 says, at one time, you too were foolish. You were disobedient. You were deceived. You were enslaved by all kinds of passions. Before you got saved, before you started plugging into the source, you were deceived by all kinds, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. You're like a dog. Because we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating each other. I don't want to live that way anymore now that I found out who God is. It says in 1 John, God is love. It's not an attribute of him. It's who he is. It goes on to say in verse 10, Gary, how long have I been teaching? Okay, we only got two verses. Verse 10, give me 5 more minutes, guys. 5 minutes, I mean it. Well, maybe 10. Anyway, it says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing to make him stumble. Listen, the Bible says this. I don't know if you can grab that light one more second. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love our brothers and sisters. This is the King James Version. It says, brethren. He who does not love his brother or sister abides in death. That's the least we can do is love others. In fact, this is a doozy. Verse 10 says, that was verse 10. Verse 11 says, but whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Listen to this. Another verse in 1 John says this, in 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates, again, the habitual, continual hateth, maybe you hate because somebody's rich, or you hate them because of their color, or you hate them because of what they've done to you, or you hate them for any reason whatsoever, okay? It says, anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer. Oh, Pastor, it's a little severe. Hey, I didn't write it. I was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Now, that should challenge you. I hope it does. I hope it does. Listen, Chuck Swindoll said something that was really great, and I loved it, and I put it in here in a quote. It says, the distinguishing mark of a Christian, the sign that sets you apart from the world and demonstrates you're a member of God's family, is not a gold cross hanging around your neck. It's not a fish sticker stuck to the back of your car. It's not a well-worn Bible tucked in your arm. It's not your baptismal certificate or seminary degree. He said the distinguishing mark of a Christian is that he or she has Christ-like love for others. Oh gosh, I'm going to skip it. Too much. 55 minutes. The bottom line is, let me just sum it up for you. The bottom line is a couple of things. First, you know what? How many of us have been really, really, we come to Christ, we feel wonderful joy and love, right? Forgiveness, isn't that right? Hallelujah. And then some of us have gone with other believers, some professing believers that were Christians and some professing believers that weren't Christians, okay? But how of us have been really damaged by professing believers? Raise your hand. Wow, look how many. And if you haven't, good. But can I tell you something? Sometimes those Christians can damage us, where did I put it in here? Ignorantly. Sometimes they do it because they don't know any better. I think of when I was a new Christian, oh my goodness, I damaged people all the time. I didn't know any better. Sometimes we damage people because we're weak and we're sinful at heart in an area, or even sometimes some folks have willfully damaged me. They're jealous of me and they try to ruin my name and character. Well, I've got a lot of reasons to be hateful to them. In fact, I can feel self-righteous about it. God says, the same measure still stands. You got to love them. I just hate people. Oh my God, you need to start praying for the Lord to fill your heart with love and break that down. Listen. Indifference too can also be a way to hate people. I don't really care. I don't want to reach out. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I don't want, you know what? That can be hating people too. I could care less if they live or die. Folks, so there's some people right here in this body that feel like they're literally dying today. And there may be some that actually are. We don't want to be indifferent. Does God, you're his kid. He wants you to be reaching out. Make sense? We can't hate and walk around. It's like we're blinded. We're blindfolded. We're walking on the edge of a cliff. Listen to this last scripture. I think it's my last one. In Revelation, and God spoke to the church at Ephesus, and this is actually where Paul was residing, and he had a lot of nice things to say about them. But he said something that was pretty important. He says, but I have this against you. Or God says, I have this complaint against you. He said, you don't love me or each other as you first did. And so this is a question for me, and maybe it's a question for you. Sometimes when we get older in our walk, we can get a little stagnant, right? Sometimes we can get a little indifferent. Sometimes we could just fill our lives with so much other junk, we forget what's important. Love God and love people. He says to them, and maybe to some of us here, you don't love me. Think of when you first got saved. You were filled with such a love for him and such a love for others that you didn't care what came your way, right? But maybe people have worn you down, situations, circumstances, sinful actions, right? Hurt feelings. They're real. But you have to say, God, will you please heal that and help me to love self-sacrificially like you did till the very end. And here's how to do this. And I think it's in this Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 verse. Here's the two keys right here. When you don't love me or each other as you did at first, just like he's telling them, here's what God says. First, remember. So listen. A lot of times we can be very self-righteous. People are just dumb. People are mean. People are jerky. People are unkind. People are... Yep, it's all true. But remember how you were. You were just like that or worse. At least I was. I'll just speak for me. When I remember back to how I was, you know what? I can be a little bit more compassionate and kind to people. I can be a little bit more understanding and patient. Do you know what I'm saying? When I think back and remember how far I've fallen, I think differently and a lot more lovingly towards that person. And I'm thankful for them and I see the good in them, whether they're ignorant or young in the Lord or got some sin struggles or they're doing great, whatever it is. Remember how far you have fallen. And here's the other thing you need to do. Besides remember how far you've fallen, turn around. Repent and do the things you did at first. Go back. Remember that. When God first saved you, what did he do? What did he have you do? What did he have you say? How did he have you live? Go back to that spot. And you hold on to him and you allow him to love you and love in you and through you to others. Amen? Does that make sense? So remember and repent. And ask God to fill you. Lord, fill me with your love. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Replace any hateful feelings, any hateful heart towards anybody in my life, Lord God. Fill me with more love. We're leaky vessels, right? Let's do that right now. And I just want, because here's the deal. When I say that person you hate, there might be somebody who comes to mind. There might be a face that's coming up in your noggin, in your head. No, maybe if there's not, then you start praying for other people in this room. But maybe there's a person that's coming into your mind right now, a couple of faces, you know, or a face. Let's just stop right now, take 1 minute and pray, okay? Father, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord God. You say in your word, it is mine to repay. So I'm leaving them in your hands from this day forward for the rest of my life, Lord. Lord, I forgive them in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean I acknowledge that what they did was good or right, it was wrong or whatever, Lord, but I put them in your hands, Lord God. I ask that you would help fill me with your love, Lord God. Don't let that hatred, Lord, be a blockage to you working in me, to you working through me anymore, Jesus. Lord, open my heart to your Holy Spirit, to your love. I need an unction of your Holy Spirit. I need to be filled again, overflowing with your love, Lord God, so that that living water can flow in me and bubble up in me to other people again, just like it used to. And Lord, when I walk out this door and I get hit in the face by the enemy with something to tick me off, probably in the exact same way that I've been mad before, Lord, I pray that you would help me to realize that's just an attack of the enemy and forgive them immediately, Lord, and just say, thank you for who you are, Lord. Help me just to remember and repent and to love you and love people with the Holy Spirit love that you've given me. We ask this for every person, that forgiveness for them, Lord, that end to the bitter root, Lord, and that filling of your love and your Holy Spirit. We begging it right now, beg you for it, Lord God. And a restored, revitalized life. And we ask it right now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all those who agree with your word today, say amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week and love God and love one another with the love that he's given you. He is the source. Amen.